walking the garden with him. Well, we're going to jump over to the book of Philippians this morning just for this week. Do something a little bit different this week. Next week we'll be back in the book of John, but we want to be in Philippians chapter 3 today if you have your Bibles with you. Philippians chapter 3. Got the Gospels in Acts and Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And we're going to be in chapter 3 today, and verses 12 through about 16 maybe. We'll see how far we get today. But the book of Philippians is a book about, I guess, going through trials. It's about Christ-likeness during trials. I call it Christ-likeness no matter what. A lot of people say it's about joy, and it is about joy. But everywhere, over and over and over again, Paul talks about being like Christ. That he says, really, over in chapter 1, he says, verse 21, he says there, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he says in verse 9, he says, or verse 10 in chapter 3, he says, "That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if any, by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Paul wants us to know that no matter what goes on in life, and I know a lot of y'all are dealing with difficulties and struggles each and every day, and Paul wants us to know that no matter how tough the struggle is, no matter what's going on, we got to keep pressing on. We got to keep on keeping on to be like Jesus Christ. Because Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. In other words, if I live, then I get to do things for God. But if I die, I get to be with God. And that's kind of what he's going to talk about today. Because in the first part of chapter 3, he talks about these people that really don't understand the truth about God. And he talks about all his accomplishments, how he's a Hebrew of Hebrews, and circumcised the eighth day. He was of the tribe of Israel, the Benjamites. Concerning the law, he was a Pharisee. He was blameless, persecuting the church, and all these things. He says, "But what things were counted as gain for me, I count them as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." He says, "I count all things." In other words, all things are as manure, as the dung, but that I may gain Christ. And I want to have His righteousness, not my own righteousness. Because our own righteousness, as the Bible says, is filthy rags. And so Paul wants us to know, see, he's writing this book while he's locked up in prison. He's locked up in prison, or actually he's under house arrest. Later on he gets put in a bad prison. But even in the good prison, I guess what you call it, he's under house arrest. If he doesn't get fed, if he doesn't have people supply his needs, then guess what? He's not going to make it through life. He's going to die of starvation or whatever. It's not like today they say you got three hots and a cot, right? Well, back in that day, you were, if somebody didn't feed you and clothe you and all those things, you didn't get it. And so Paul writes 7 of the 13 books that he writes in the New Testament while he's locked up in prison. And he wants us to know that no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what you're going through in life, that you need to keep on pressing on. You need to keep heading towards the goal, towards the prize. And so we're going to look, I'm just going to read verses 12 through 14 to start out with today of chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul, by this time, has been a Christian about 30 years. Maybe some of y'all have been Christians longer than that. But you know what? He says, even though I've been a Christian a long time, I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. You know, what did Paul say early on in his ministry? He said in a couple of the books, he said, one place he said he was the least of the saints. Another place he said he was the chief of sinners, right? And maybe you realize, as I do, that the longer you walk with Christ, the less really you realize that you are never going to beat all the sins in your life. That you're never going to be able to completely be perfect. And I know some people say, well, you know, you can get to that place where you're completely perfect. Well, guess what, folks? We're not going to be perfect until we get to heaven. We will not be perfect till we get to heaven. And on this side, we're going to struggle. We're going to have tough times. And, you know, when you first trust Christ, it's kind of the outward things that go out of your life. It's the way you talk and different things and the things you do, maybe. But as you get older, you realize that the things that are the toughest to get rid of are these thought processes, these mindsets and things like that. And all of us struggle with them. And even Paul did. I mean, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, the things I want to do, I don't do them. But he says, the things that I don't want to do, I do those. And if I want to do them, I don't do them. So both sides of his goal, he didn't do what he wanted to do, and he did what he didn't want to do. And that's the same with us. But you know what? He doesn't want us to get discouraged. He doesn't want us to get beat down because we don't always do everything perfectly. Because here's the great apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian there ever was. He wrote 13 books in our New Testament Bible. God used him mightily, is still using him mightily today. And he says in verse 12, not that I've already attained or am already perfected. And I want you to notice that he goes on down in verse 13 and he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. You know, and he keeps on saying this. He says two or three times in there, I hadn't made it. I haven't arrived. I am not perfect. And if you think you've arrived, then you're probably in trouble because none of us have arrived. None of us have made it. And we will be perfect when Jesus makes us like Him. If we've trusted Christ, we get to heaven. And the Bible says we will see Him and we will be like Him because we know Him. And so that day we will be perfected when we get to heaven. But until then, we're in a race. We're in a struggle. We're running that race. And so the first thing we want to talk about this morning is the need to realize that we haven't made it. That we need to realize that we haven't made it. And so Paul says, I haven't attained. I have not made it. I am not perfected. But he does what? He presses on. He presses on. He puts forth what? Maximum effort. And he says that in a little bit. In verse 14, he says, I press. He uses that word twice, press. He says, I'm pressing towards the goal. I press on. You know, you ever heard it when people tell you, you know, you just need to press on, right? Well, guess what? That's biblical. And maybe you've got a lot of years behind you and you don't feel like pressing on. But the Bible says we need to finish the race. Paul says in 1 Timothy, I think it's chapter 6, he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have finished that which God has set before me. And Paul apparently is the only other person that did everything that God set forth for him to do in his life. And that's good. But you know what? We're not all going to get done everything we're supposed to. But the bottom line is we need to keep working at it. We need to keep pressing on. Paul had another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I believe it is, verse 24. He says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things." Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." In other words, Paul says when you run in a race, there's rules, right? You go by the rules. God has rules, and only one receives the prize. But guess what? Everybody that knows Christ is going to get the prize. Because that's what he's going to talk about in a minute. He presses towards the goal for the prize. Back over in chapter 3. But he says, everybody who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, right? I mean, when these people run, when they work out, when they do these things to win the Olympics, and the Olympics is coming up, I guess the Summer Olympics, and you know, they do all these things and they train all day long. Well, Paul says, that's what I'm doing. I'm training. I'm always training. I'm getting ready to be, when my time comes in heaven, what I do here on earth is what puts me in my place in heaven. I don't know if y'all realize that or not, but what we do here on earth determines our place in heaven. Paul talks about that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about the things that we do that we earn different crowns, and those crowns are not for us, but they're to throw at the feet of Jesus because he's the one that deserves all the honor and the glory and the praise. And so he says they do it to obtain a perishable crown. All them guys used to get was those little old wreaths that were made out of a vine or a stick or a limb, and they with the laurel wreaths, and they twisted into a crown, and a week later all the leaves were off of it, and a couple of months later it was all dried up and brittle, right? Well, the people today do it for a gold medal or a silver medal or a trophy. I was thinking about some guy, we went to his house one time a long time ago, and he had all his bowling trophies in the window. But you know what? Those things really don't matter, because one day what matters is what's going to happen in heaven, right? I mean, that's why we're here. And so these people are doing it to get this little old nothing that's going to be a stick with no leaves on it in about a week and rot in about a year. But he says he beats his body into subjection so that he won't be disqualified. Disqualified doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but it just means that you lose the prize, right? If you're disqualified, you don't get the prize, and the prize is all the crowns. He says we're running for a crown for that reward that God's given to us. And so back over in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "I am not perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me." I don't know if you want to turn over there or not, but Romans chapter 8 is where the Bible talks about the fact of the whole reason that God has forgiven us, the whole reason God has saved us. He says in verse 29, we all know verse 8:28, right? That he works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. But in verse 29, he says, "For those he foreknew, those he knew in the past, he also predestined or predetermined that they would be conformed to the image of his Son." That we would be made like Jesus Christ, right? Our first purpose in life is to give God glory, and our second purpose is to be like Christ. But they're actually intertwined, so how do you give God glory? By like being like Jesus, right? He says in Matthew 5:16 that what? "Let your light so shine before others that others may see your good works and do what? Glorify our Father who's in heaven." That's right. He says, "I'm pressing on. I'm pushing it. I'm giving it maximum effort that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. The reason God laid hold of Paul, the reason he lays hold of us, the reason we're saved, as we sang, Jesus saves, is so that we can be like Christ. That is our goal in life, is to be like Christ. And everything else is really, just really doesn't matter in this life. And not that we don't enjoy life and do other things, but our main goal is to be like Christ. And when we become like Him, everything just kind of happens like it's supposed to. And then he says, verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He says it again, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That word apprehend means to grasp or to lay hold of again. It's that, you know, those little, I guess when bats and monkeys and all those things, they got those hands and claws that, you know, animals' claws are different than ours, like the squirrels and different animals. You know, our natural position is open. Their natural position is closed. They have to do this to open them. We have to do this to close them. That's why when they run down the trees and all, they're just naturally grabbing, right? And Paul's saying, I haven't grasped it. I haven't laid hold to it. I haven't been able to get hold of this thing totally and completely like I ought to. But he says, but one thing I do. Paul says, I don't dabble in 50 different things. I don't do 400 things. But he says, one thing I do. He says, he's forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So Paul's doing that one thing. What is he doing? He's being like Jesus Christ, right? The one thing is pursuing Christ's likeness. To live as Christ, to die as gain. And so Paul says, out of that one thing, everything else happens. You know, a lot of times we work on all the other things in our life, and this is kind of hard to get your hands around. That's why he says he hasn't apprehended, he hasn't grasped it totally. But there's one goal in life, and that's to be like Jesus. Is everything I say, everything I do, everything that comes out of my mouth and the way I act, my thoughts, my attitudes, my actions, does it all glorify Christ? And it's not going to, but that should be our goal, right? I mean, our goal is to be like Jesus, right? If you don't have a goal, then you're not going to reach for anything, right? I mean, some people are good at really setting goals and laying out plans and organizing and all those things, but our one goal should be Christ's likeness. That's through reading and listening to the Word of God. And I mean, there's plenty of good Christian radio stations around here. And maybe you don't like all the music, but there's some good ones, 88.7 FM, The Light. They have a variety of music on there. Of course, we got 89.5, the Radio Broadcasting Network. They've got all the older songs and the... They don't have as much preaching. I like to listen to 88.7 because they got a lot of preaching on it. But you know, you got to make sure that you're filling your mind with the right thing. You got to be careful with some of these other channels, some of these preaching channels that you watch on your TV, because you might have on there one good person and the very next person's going to be one of these health, wealth, and prosperity preachers, one of these people that don't even know what salvation means. And they would never say that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven because they don't believe that. But they'll tell you all these nice, frilly things and, you know, like the one guy says, your best life now. Well, in a sense, that's true. If you know Jesus Christ, this is a better life than what you would have had if you wouldn't have been saved. But guess what? Your best life comes in heaven. That's when the best life comes. And so there's just enough grain of truth in there to throw you off the track. And so Paul says, this one thing I do. And then here's the thing that gets to us. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. What do I forget? Forget everything. I mean, I want to remember my accomplishments because God has helped me. You know, like David, when he killed when he went up against a Philistine giant, he says, well, I killed the lion with my bare hands. I killed the bear by the grace of God. And how much more can I kill this uncircumcised Philistine giant, right? I can kill him because the Lord was with me these other two times. And if the Lord was with me then he can help me now, right? I mean, isn't that what life is all about? I mean, when James says, count it all joy when you go through various trials. And Romans 5 says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience character, and character hope, that you go through tough things. And as you go through tougher things, as life goes on, then you can look back each time and say, wow, God got me through this, and He got me through that, and He got me through that. I know He'll get me through this one too. Because the Bible says, I'll be with you when you pass through the waters. They will not overflow you. He didn't say He'd get you out of the water. He said He'd be with you when you pass through the waters. He said He'd be with you when you pass through the fire. It would not burn you, nor will it scorch you. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when he got thrown into fire, the king said, I just read this a few days ago, the king looked down and it killed the people that threw them in the fire, and they were thrown into fire, bound hands and feet. And then he looked down in the fire and he says, I see four men walking around in the fire. Didn't we just throw three? There's four of them in there. And there's one like the Son of God in there with them. And they're walking around. The ropes burned off, but their clothes didn't burn off. And they were walking around in the fire, and they pulled them out unharmed, right? And so Daniel went through the lion's den. Joseph got thrown into prison. You know, David had to run from Saul for years. Abraham was out in the wilderness. Moses had his all them people that was with him. But you know what? He says, forgetting those things which are behind. What do I forget? I forget. I used to do this and I used to do that. But what he says, I'm reaching forward till what's in the future, right? What do I forget? I forget my failures. Why do I forget my failures? Because you know what? God has forgotten those failures, right? You cannot keep holding stuff against yourself if God has said they have been forgiven. If you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, He says, your sins have been removed as far as the east to the west. He's thrown them in the depths of the sea. He's thrown them behind His back. He's trampled them under His feet. And He remembers them no more. And if God says you've been forgiven because you know Jesus Christ, guess what? You have no right to hold things against your own self, right? You need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive others. And you need to forget those things that are behind, because they're in the past. They don't matter today. What matters is the future. What are you doing today? What are you doing for Christ today? What are you doing to grow today? What are you doing that's different than yesterday? Did you learn your lesson from the mess up? You know, that's the thing, that we want to forget those things behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. When the guy runs the race, he's not running the race doing like this, is he? He shouldn't be. He shouldn't be. I don't know if y'all remember this. I just was flipping through channels. I don't do that as much as I used to anymore. Drive my wife crazy. But a few years ago, I was watching one of the Summer Olympics or something, and they were doing the bike race. There was this guy, he was riding along, and I guess he thought he was so far everybody, and he was first place, you know, and he's on his bike, and he's doing like this, and he's going from about half one side of the road to the other, just kind of looking behind him, doing like this, you know, just kind of looking to see who's back there, and he's almost at the finish line. And you know what? By that time, he looks back, and all of a sudden, there's somebody there. He went, you know, starts getting it, you know, on that bike all of a sudden again, and another guy almost passed him. He had first place sewed up. If he'd have just kept on pedaling, he could have kept pedaling slow as long as he didn't keep looking back. And you know, you ever done your bike or something and you just go back full across the road? He was doing just like that. And that guy in a split second past him. And you can't do that when you're in a race. You got to keep your eyes fixed on the goal. What does Hebrews 12 say? He says to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus kept his eyes on the goal, right? We got to keep our eyes on him. He despised the shame, endured the cross because he knew what? At the end of it, there was something to be had, our salvation. But you know what? We've got to do the same thing, except for we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and remember, and when we get to look around at everything else, we get all messed up. When I get to looking at other people and other things and, well, I could have done this or wish they'd have done that, that just messes me up. And I got to reach forward to the things that God has for me ahead. Because, look folks, until the Lord calls us home, He's not through with us. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, until He calls us out off of this planet to heaven, He's not through with us. He wants to use us. Somehow, some way, He wants to use us. And so Paul finishes up in verse 14. He says, I press. There it is again. I'm pushing hard as I can towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's got his eyes fixed on the goal. See, the goal is to be like Jesus. And the prize is, guess what? One day when we get to heaven, we'll be what? Like Jesus. That's right. The goal and the prize are really the same thing. The goal is unattainable, really, here on earth. But that doesn't mean you don't keep trying, right? What's the old saying? Practice makes perfect. Well, I ain't never seen anybody perfect before. I've never seen anybody hit 1,000 out of 1,000 basketball goals, or 1,000 out of 1,000 home runs, or whatever it is you want to do. Practice does not make perfect. But guess what? You know, Paul's going to tell us in a minute, you know, to practice those things. He tells us that in Philippians chapter 4. He says, the things that you've seen and heard and learned from me, these do. What does that mean? You're practicing them, right? That's verse 9. And the God of peace will be with you. Paul says you keep pressing towards the goal. You keep your eyes fixed on the prize, on the goal, which is Jesus Christ, and you wait for that upward call that we sing about so often anymore. In number 44, I got to mention just over the hilltop, right? And we're waiting on that day because we're just aliens and strangers in this old world if we know Christ, and we're just passing through. But our home's really in heaven. That's where our home is at. This place, we're just going to be here a few years when we've been there. 10,000 years, we just sang. We'll have only just begun to sing His praises, right? 10,000 years. How does that compare to 100 or 120 or whatever? Like I said, only 1 out of 2 billion people live to be 116. But even if you live to be 116, 120, 130, how does that compare to 10,000? It's nothing, right? In eternity, life is like a drop in the ocean of eternity. And so Paul says, press towards that goal. Because one day God's going to call you to heaven. And you want to be as much like Christ as you can be. Because just like we prepare for whatever it is we're doing in this life, and we want to be as practiced or ready to do whatever it is, we want to be as ready or as practiced as we can be to be like God one day when we get to heaven. And what we've done here is going to determine our place in heaven. And so Paul finishes up, and I'm just go through this real quick. He says, therefore, let as many as mature have this mind. In other words, if you're mature in your faith, have that mind. What mindset? To press towards the goal. And he says, if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, if you don't do what's right, the Bible says God will chasten you, right? He says he'll reveal this to you if you're not doing right. Nevertheless, to the degree we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. In other words, keep on keeping on at whatever level of spiritual maturity you've reached. Keep on walking at that level. Don't back up. Don't slack up. One man said it like this, don't slack up, don't back up, or you'll crack up. And then he says, verse 17, he says, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. In other words, look at those who are a pattern around you and imitate those people, right? Look for godly people. See how they live. See what they do and imitate them. I want to finish up with one little old story. It's called Tools for Sale. Because, you know, with a message like this, sometimes we tend to get discouraged and think, well, I'm not doing as good as I ought to. I'm not doing everything I can. And guess what? That's all of us. None of us have made it. None of us are arrived. None of us are perfect. None of us do everything we're supposed to do. Not pastors, not deacons, not elders, not Sunday school teachers. None of us are probably everything we ought to be in life. But you know what? God wants us to keep on keeping on. And you know, one of the greatest tools the devil has is discouragement. There's a story about a sale. The devil had all his tools on the table. And there was this well-worn tool, and it was almost worn out. And it had a really high price on it. And somebody asked the devil, says, well, devil, what's that tool? He said, that's discouragement. He says, it's my favorite tool. It's my most expensive tool. It's my most used tool. Because guess what? I can pry into a man or a woman, a boy or a girl's heart with that when I can get to them with nothing else. He says, if I can get somebody discouraged, I can get at them when I couldn't get at them any other time. And so I was reading a verse yesterday, reading a book called Knowing God. And there he says in Romans chapter 8, he says in verse 1, that therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. And he says, and a minute later, he says, what shall we say then? Verse 31. If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? If you're saved, that's you. You're God's elect. You are His chosen person. It is God who justifies. If God's forgiven you, if God saved you, nobody else really has a right to bring a charge against yourself, even your own self. Now, you need to examine your life for sin and say, yes, this is wrong. This needs to be dealt with. But he says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore also is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He prays for us when we're in difficult times, when we're struggling. And then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, all the day long we are killed. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if God is for you, who can be against you? If He's forgiven you, He's saved you, then that's it. It's God who condemns. And if He's forgiven you and saved you, He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know, Paul said it this way. I like this, and we'll finish up with this. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said that I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to have nothing. I've learned how to be rich, how to be poor. I've learned how to go through all struggles in life. And he says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said, I have learned. It didn't come easy. He learned how to do these things. And that's what Paul's talking about. We need to learn how to deal with the difficulties of life, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, use the resources He's given us, the Word and prayer and other fellow Christians when we're down and discouraged, and to just keep trusting the Lord, because He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Well, let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You that sometimes we do fail. Sometimes we do fall. But yet, Lord, You said there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those things have already been paid for on the cross if we know You as Lord and Savior. And if there's one here today that does not know You, has not trusted You, is trusting in anything else, as the old song says, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He's the one that washes me white as snow. If we could do anything, then there was no need for Jesus to come. But He came because He and He alone could do everything that was necessary. No good works, no baptism, no communion, no joining church, no anything, giving or anything else can get us any closer to heaven. But You said it's by grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is a free gift. We thank You for that. And we thank You that because it's a free gift, it can't be taken away from us. Because You promised You'd give it and You wouldn't take it back, and You do not lie. And You said that You would never leave us, You'd never forsake us. And if You're for us, who can be against us? Thank You for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why don't we sing that one then? Number 77, Jesus Paid It All. And that'll be our last hymn today.
I'm the child without no more. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved, be loved to me.
I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out, go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And He is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by Me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto Me. And so if you want to help us,
go out to our website. There's a donate now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.